Greetings and welcome to our Tuesday night study. We're going to open with prayer. We've had a request for prayer for Bobby Edwards, and also let's continue to remember Brother Tony in prayer. So wherever you are tonight, if you could join in prayer with me. Father, Lord, we just come to you with all humility. Lord, you said we should make our supplications known. Hallelujah. With thanksgiving, Lord, we call these names before your throne. Lord, we ask right now for your word, hallelujah, oh God, to have effect, Lord Jesus, for healing and for restoration, for those who are sick tonight, wherever they may be, those who are depressed, those who are struggling, Lord. We ask right now, Father, Lord God, as we come before your throne for a healing touch. Lord, we ask for you to fill this sanctuary tonight with your presence. Lord, that the study will edify, that it will bless, hallelujah, that it will increase faith. We thank you, hallelujah, for all that you are doing, for walking with us, for covering us, for our families, Lord God, that you have blessed, and for taking us through this year. Lord, we just ask right now, Lord Jesus, for your presence and anointing to fill every home, to every screen, every place where someone is listening to your word. We thank you and we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we welcome you tonight to our Tuesday night study, and we are going to be starting a new one tonight that I'm going to be calling Led by the Spirit. And this will be a two-part, and the focus scripture is taken from Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And you know, that is so important that we understand that, because not many people understand what it is to be a follower. Let me see if this one's a little bit better. Many people just want to be a leader, but they don't understand that first you have to learn to follow. The scripture tells us that we learn to follow through listening, through instruction. And so tonight's focus will be listening to the Spirit. You know, when God first speaks to you, sometimes people don't recognize his voice. So we're going to be looking at being led by the Spirit, which means listening and hearing his voice. How do you recognize when God is speaking to you? And led by the Spirit also means walking in the word and by the word, and also walking in obedience to the call and the word of God. And of course, it also means subjecting and killing or mortifying the flesh. So let's start with John chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus said this. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Jesus said that his true sheep know his voice. They're not going to be fooled by listening to another. They're not going to be deceived into following the wrong voices. In the Old Testament, we have an example of a young lad first trying to understand and hearing God's voice. And that is Samuel, when he was only maybe around 8 years old. He came to the Lord at a young age, and when God first spoke to him, he did not understand who the voice was. He thought it was Eli. So when we first come to God, sometimes we don't recognize when God is speaking to us. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 4, it said, "And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here am I.'" And he thought, of course, it was Eli. And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and he lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered and said, "I calls thee not." And he answered, "My son, lie down again." Now, verse 7 is important because it shows us that Samuel, it says, did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. He was still a young lad, and he was still getting familiar with the call of God. So when we first come to Christ, sometimes the devil will try and deceive us with all kinds of statements and directions. But here is the clue. Here is the important thing and the reason why we have the written word. The voice of the Lord will never contradict the word of the Lord. So if you get some direction that is contrary to his word, you can know immediately that's not God. God will never contradict his written word. He said, my sheep know my voice. He said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known of mine. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Sometimes following God seems very difficult. We think of the life of Joseph. He had gotten this dream, this vision, and that he was going to be chosen and used by God. And yet his life just seemed to go from bad to worse, from being going to be killed by his brothers to being sold into slavery into Egypt and then going into prison. It just seemed that waiting on God and following God's voice in that case seemed so long. But he was patient. Verse 28 says this, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What we have to know is that when we trust God, when we start to follow him earnestly, there is no force that can take us out of his hand. Sometimes, though, discerning God's voice, for those who are new to his relationship with God, is difficult. We see an example in the Old Testament, again, of Elijah, the great prophet, when he went to the mountain, and there was all this noise and storm, and yet God was not in all of the noise and the fire. Let's look at that in 1 Kings 19 and verse 11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a still, small voice. What does that tell us? Sometimes there's so much noise in our life going on that we are not really paying attention or listening to what God is trying to say. It was only by being quiet and really listening did Elijah finally hear the voice of God. Sometimes our soul has to just get quiet. We have to shut up. We have to stop telling God what we want and what direction we want to go, and truly listen for that still, small voice. Sometimes we just have to let our soul get quiet. In this case, it wasn't in the noise, it wasn't in the hoopla, it wasn't in the shout, it wasn't in the fire. It was just a still, small voice. God will speak to us when we get quiet. God is not going to let you talk over him and try and hold a conversation. I think many times we talk over the voice of God. We interject before he's really finished giving us direction. And God shuts up. God shut up with Israel several times where, because they were disobedient, he stopped speaking to them. God does not like being talked over. And in this case, Elijah learned a very big lesson. It wasn't in all of the demonstration of the earthquake or the fire. It was in the still, small voice. In Genesis 3:8, we see that again, God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and it was his voice that they heard. The presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. So to hear the still, small voice, we must have a quiet spirit. As I said, God will not talk over us. We must be listening. We pray and we say, God, speak to us, speak to us. But do we ever stop and wait and listen when you pray? Is it a monologue, or do you just go into a quiet moment where you're listening for God to speak back and to answer you? Now, God works in many ways. He speaks to us in many ways, not always in an audible voice, but sometimes he speaks to us loudest through circumstance. And in my life, that's always been the case. God speaks to me primarily through circumstance. Let's look at this in the Old Testament. We have the event of Balaam being called to curse Israel in Numbers chapter 22 and verse 10. And this is an example of God speaking through circumstance. And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people Come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. So Balaam was asking God for something that was not in God's will. How many times have we done that and be demanding of God something that is not in his will? And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Can't curse what God has blessed. Just won't work. But Balaam was stubborn. He kept on coming back and coming back and coming back. You know, sometimes, as with children, sometimes they just keep on asking and asking. And sometimes you know better, but you say, okay, fine, have at it. So God allowed Balaam to go, but he decided he was going to speak to him in a different way. Balaam was not listening to the actual voice of God. God spoke to him and told him no. So God decided to speak to Balaam in a different way, through circumstance. Because we do not listen to the still small voice that's in our heart sometimes, that the Spirit is whispering, most of the time the only way God can get our attention is through circumstance. So this is the circumstance that happened. Instead of speaking to Balaam, God started to speak to his donkey. Numbers 22 and verse 21. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. Because he wasn't listening to the voice of God, God got angry. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. But of course, only the donkey could see the angel at first. Now he was riding upon his ass and his two servants with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So the car won't start. We get mad at the car. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. Why won't this thing do what I want? I'm going to do what I purpose to do today. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyard. You know what God is doing? He's speaking in circumstance. A wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. He was determined to do what he wanted despite what God said, despite the things that were happening. Many times God speaks to us through circumstances that are warnings when we are going against his will. And it wasn't until the donkey started to speak to him audibly that he realized what was happening. He didn't listen to God's voice. God had to speak through a donkey to get his attention. Many times we're demanding God to speak to us, and he is, but we're not listening because we're looking for him in the earthquake, in the fire, in the great demonstration, in some great thing, and yet he is speaking to us. The Bible said you would hear a voice in your ear saying, this is the way, walk in it. You see, we have to be in agreement with God's will for him to speak to us and give us direction. We have to be submitted, as I taught a few weeks ago, for God to really pay us attention. We have to be in agreement. And when we are in agreement with God's will, there is a great power that can be manifested. Philippians 2:5 says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. That's the key. That's the key to listening to God, is to be obedient. You have to have an expectation that God is going to speak to you, and then you have to be listening. It says, let this mind be in you. When we're in agreement with whatever God's will is, then it's easy to hear God's voice. It's easy to hear God's voice. But when we don't want to believe something, when we don't want to accept it, almost no proof, almost no word from God will convince us. And then he has to start giving us circumstance. And finally, maybe a donkey, some really unusual circumstance will happen to really wake us up. And to let us know that, hey, you're going in the wrong direction. Wake up, listen, this is not what I want. I put there in Romans 8, 6 in the NIV translation, it says, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Right now, the degree of peace you have, the degree of rest you have, depends on how much you believe you're okay with God. If you really believe that you and God are our best pals, you should have a peace that passes human understanding. If you believe that you are right with God, it should give you a peace that no matter what's going on around you, you know that you are going to be okay. Because the very first scripture I read, he said that no one could pluck you out of his hand. But when we are willful and when we are not sure that we're in God's direction, then we have anxiety. That's when we have worry, because we're not lined up totally with God's plan. So to walk in agreement with God, sometimes you have to humble your desires, your direction, to enable God's blessing. We may not be where we want to be according to our flesh. You know, we may want to be somewhere else, somewhere nice and beautiful. But if where you are is where God has placed you, then, and it's in the will of God, that's where you're going to receive the greatest blessing. Maybe not from man's perspective, but from God's perspective. Paul said godliness with gain is great contentment. That means when you are content with where God has placed you, whether it's a hovel, whether it's a place you don't like, but if you're in the will of God, is the greatest place to be. So led by the Spirit means agreement with God. The Bible says two cannot walk together unless they agree. So if you're going to walk with God, that means you have to be in agreement with Him. Else God will not be walking with you. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. John 5:30, in his flesh, Jesus gave us this principle. He said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will. If tonight we can in our hearts say that we are truly seeking God's will, if we can truly pray that every day, not my will, but thy will, then we are on the journey that is being led by the Spirit. In the Old Testament, God symbolized this with the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. Whenever the cloud or the pillar of fire stopped, Israel stopped. They camped. They didn't know where they were going, but as soon as it started to move, they pulled up stakes and started to follow it. Now, it happened that they were going around in a circle, but nevertheless, they just had to follow the Spirit, symbolized by the cloud and the pillar of fire. Today, it may seem that you're walking in a circle, but you have to follow God's leading. Jesus gave the example in John 5 that he says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will. Psalms 143 verse 10 says, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your Spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. The truth is, though, most of us are like Balaam. We want to tell God what it is we want to do. We're in agreement with so many other things that we want to do. And the question is, the prayer of agreement only works if your partner is God. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, but be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And I don't just mean in marriage, I'm talking in things that you do. Are you unequally yoked? Are you having more time spent with people who have no Christian foundation, who are unbelievers, who do not have like faith? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what path hath he that believeth with an infidel? Verse 16 says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Many times our prayers are not heard because we're not in agreement with the right person. We're not in agreement with God. We have made a decision in our own minds and we're just sticking with it. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He who walks with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." So we have to walk in agreement. Let's look at an example in the Old Testament. We see that God had called Abraham to be by himself. The blessing that God wanted to pour on Abraham was exclusively for himself. But he obeyed in progressive stages. First, he went with his whole family, and they got stuck in Haran for 5 years. Then he took Lot with him. And again, he still could not fully receive the blessing. Instead, he ended up with Ishmael and all of the things that went on with Hagar. But finally, in Genesis 13:7, there came a day when Lot and Abraham separated. Genesis 13:7, and there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. Many times in our life, we're bringing along stuff that is causing us strife. And when we are in that environment, we cannot really hear what the Spirit is saying to us. We've got so much strife going on, either through job or family. Sometimes we have to just shut the door and cut off the strife. It says there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And finally in verse 8, Abraham gets the deal. And Abraham said unto Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself." And it wasn't until Abraham separated himself and finally he was able to listen to God. And God was able to then give him the blessing that he had told him about 25 years before. Jude 1:18 says, "How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts." Sometimes we're walking with the wrong people. What we have to do is walk in agreement with God's will. John 8:28. As I said, "Then Jesus said unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." Of course, Psalms 23 says, He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What we have to get to the point of humbling ourselves to say we are going to walk after God's will no matter what. Now, does that mean trial and tribulation? Does that mean sometimes things fall apart? It may do, because we can only walk through our own heart. We cannot be responsible for other people. We can pray for them. We can only ask God's mercy on our family members. But when it comes down to salvation, the Bible says that we're going to have to work it out ourselves, our own salvation, with fear and trembling. So 1 John 5:8, we have to be in agreement with what the Spirit wants. The Spirit does not have to be in agreement with what we want. 1 John 5:8, that says that there are three that bear witness in earth, in the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. So God has promised to lead us. He has promised that he would not leave us. And yet many times we find ourselves so directionless, don't know where to turn, don't know what answer to give, don't know what direction. Why is that? He has promised he would make his purpose known. Romans 12:2, well, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." If you find yourself directionless and not knowing where to turn in life, the Bible says that we need to transform and renew our mind so that we may prove what the will of God is. That's how we will know which direction is. How do we renew our mind? Well, we do it through the Word. We do it through seeking God's will. We do it through humbling ourselves. We do it through prayer. We do it through fasting. We learn to recognize the shepherd's call. And then, of course, walking in unity. One of the strengths of the day of Pentecost that I think was so important that is overlooked, it says, and they were on one accord. Because of COVID and all the separation, it seems so much now that so much of the body is not on one accord. We're all separated in our own little places of worship, our homes. But we need to be on one accord. In describing his followers as sheep, the one thing about sheep is that they flock together. One sheep does not like to be by himself. John 10:3-4 says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name. Now, if you were to look at that picture and all the sheep, we could not recognize one sheep from another. But the Bible says God knows each and every one of us by name. It goes so much further. He says, the very hairs of your head are numbered. God knows more about you than you even begin to know about yourself. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I believe God is speaking to each and every one of us every single day. And we will say, really? I didn't hear him. If you didn't hear him, then why is that? Could it be because of the earthquake and the fire and the storm? And you're not listening to the still, small voice? David, of course, in Psalm 23, the shepherd psalm said, the Lord is my shepherd. Because of that, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. If we will follow the shepherd, if we will listen, even in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Maybe the most famous psalm in the whole Bible. You see, when we are gathered together in unity, that's when God has made some promises. Matthew 18:19, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Wow, what a promise. Of course, many of us, because we don't see a visible presence, we've heard that so many times, we don't even focus on it. We don't pray with that promise. There is something about praying on the word of God and the promise of God. He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's what God has promised. You see, when we're led by the Spirit, sometimes though, there is a waiting period. There is a period of patience. And Paul speaks about that, how patience is a virtue that builds faith. In his final message to his disciples, he told them to wait. In Luke 24:49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry, wait ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Psalms 130.5 says, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait in his word, do I hope. You know, I am always optimistic. A Christian should never be a pessimist, because I always have a backup plan. I always have something that the world doesn't know. I have a Savior. I have a Deliverer. I have a Father who can hear my cry. No matter how bad the situation comes, no matter how long I'm waiting, the Bible says God is a present help. Hallelujah. He is an ever-present help. He is a strong tower. David learned this. We don't know in detail the circumstances of his fight with the lion and the bear. He just says that he had it. But it couldn't have been as easy and as simple as that. But he had to have faith and trust that God was his deliverer. Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now, I just read that, but do we believe it? Do you trust it? Will you pray on that? Lord, I'm going to listen to your voice. Your word is speaking to me. It says, not maybe, it says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, they shall not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. This only means something to you if, one, you're filled with the Spirit, and two, if you're really trusting God. If you have confidence in God, Scripture in the New Testament says, if we have confidence in Him, then our prayers go through, because God is not going to answer if we ask unbelieving. So they were on one accord on the day of Pentecost. Psalms 133 verse 1 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And it goes on to describe the ointment that was poured upon the priest. When we do that, God speaks to us. The Bible speaks about the church in the New Testament that they were praying fervently. The church got together and they prayed for Peter's delivery, to the point where when he was released, the girl who answered the door couldn't believe it. When we're in unity, that is the strongest bulwark against Satan's plans and his weapons that he is trying to throw against the church. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says that if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That's why you pray for me, I pray for you, and we pray for each other. That's what God wants us to do, to hold each other up in prayer and in exhortation. So when we start to follow the Spirit, we start to walk in obedience. Genesis 17:1. Not long after he separated from Lot, God started to really speak to Abraham and give him the promise that he had been wanting. And when Abraham was 90 years old, 90 years old and nine, I doubt there's too many people listening to me tonight, or anywhere close to that. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And for many years when I read this, I would always get a little bit discouraged. God was telling him, you be perfect. But really what this was God declaring Abraham perfect through his obedience. God was saying, if you start to walk before me, if you start on this journey, if you just take the first step, I declare you perfect. Why? Because you have trusted me, you have obeyed me, you've taken the first step. That's what God is telling us tonight. That's what the Spirit is speaking. He's saying, walk before me, and I declare you perfect. And if I declare you perfect, then you should have joy, you should have rejoicing, you should have hope, you should have faith, you should have love. Walk before me, and I will declare you perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be the father of many nations. You know what's happening today, though? I think we're going through a season where people are losing faith. Where is the promise of his coming? We've heard so many times, the rapture's around the corner. And so people are losing faith. They're going through trials and tribulations. They're seeing things happen in their life, and the devil is whispering and saying, if God loves you, this would not be happening. If God was really on your side, why did this happen? Let's look at that. Numbers 13:1. You know what happens when we lose faith? It's because we have forgotten the times God has delivered us. We've forgotten the times when He's opened doors. We've forgotten the times when He's parted the Red Sea. We've forgotten the times when He let food fall from heaven. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, and of every tribe of their fathers shall he send a man, everyone a ruler among them. God did this as a test. God did not have to have Moses search out the land. God knew what the land was, but this was a test. Many times God will ask us to do things as a test. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. So they went, as you know, into the land and went up and down the breadth of it, and they came back with great stories. Oh yes, this is a beautiful land. It's It is a really rich agricultural land. It flows with milk and honey. But there's one problem. It's inhabited by giants. There are great, great giants, and there's armies, and we are just like grasshoppers in their eyes. You know, Satan will take God's plan for your life and a temporary waiting period and a temporary discouragement and say, God is not speaking to you. Numbers 13:27, and they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. You know, we could say the same about the city we live in, right? An evil report. An evil report. They had forgotten what God had done for them. They had forgotten all the things that God had blessed them. They came back and said, there are giants there. There's walls. We can't take the city. They had forgotten what God had just done just a few years before. Have you forgotten the times God has delivered you, saved you from accident, the miracle where the doctor said, we don't know what to do? Even the little small things, the little headache, the lost keys, the job. See, God speaks in circumstances. Here's what is revealed in Psalms, what God thought of this. In Psalm 78:18, it says, and they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lusts. Now, it wasn't that they were asking meat. It was how they did it. If you remember, they said, listen, we were better off than in Egypt. Why did you bring us out here to die? Why did you let us end up in this city? Seems one of little hope. All kinds of stuff going on. Yea, they spake against God, and they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? The very thing that he had been doing for 40 years. Behold, he smote the rock, and waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Is that what we're doing sometimes, tempting God and saying, God, I'm in such a situation. It's hopeless. And yet the Spirit is speaking to us and saying, have faith, hold on. Verse 21, therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel. Because, why? They believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. When we lose faith, it's because we're focusing on the storm instead of the individual, which is Jesus. Peter said, you bid me come. And as long as he kept looking at Jesus and looking at the word, he was able to walk. But as soon as he looked at the storm and the hopelessness of it, he started to sink. So many people today are losing faith. They're asking the question, why? Just like the souls under the altar in Revelation, oh Lord, why? How long will it be before you avenge our blood? Lord, how long will it be before you don't come and deliver us out of this situation? How long? I can imagine that Noah, when he was in the ark, asked the same question. Lord, how long are you going to send down the rains? We've been in this thing for days and days, 40 nights and days it has rained. I imagine he got discouraged the first time he let the bird out and it came back. But as night follows day, as there is an evening and a morning, God's word is going to be fulfilled. There will be a day when the trump of God shall sound, when the dead in Christ shall arise first. Let us not have verse 22 fulfilled upon us. Psalm 78, verse 22. Because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven. Verse 25. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. And yet now they come up to the promised land, they think they can't go. You understand that when you claim to be a son of God, when you claim to be a Christian, your sonship is going to be tested. Part of being led by the Spirit is being led to be tested. Anything that's going to be used is tested. I've been watching the building of the SpaceX Starship on YouTube. And before every launch, they're up to serial number 15. That means they built 15 rockets. And yet every time before they launch a rocket, you know what they do before they actually release it to go? They test the rocket engines. You'd think by the 15th time they would say, we don't need to test the rocket engines. But they test them. They test that it can hold the pressure. They actually turn them on and they fire them before they actually release it to go up. Do you understand? Before you're released to go up, God is going to test you. He's having no duds. Oh no, he's not going to have any duds go to heaven. Your sonship, if you're being led by the Spirit, is going to be tested. One of the most amazing verses in Scripture is Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. Here comes the test. If thou be a son of God, what are you going to answer? Jesus had the word ready. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. He was quoting from back, I believe, in Deuteronomy, where God told them that he led them through the desert just to test them, to teach them that man shall not live by what you can do alone, but by listening, by every word. The word means you have to listen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God deliberately led the children of Israel into the desert. There were many other ways to reach Canaan, but he wanted them totally dependent on him. God wants you totally dependent on him. You're all worried, and what are we going to do? Where God is saying, that's how I want you. I've got you where I want. Now you have to pray. Now you have to seek. Now you have to listen to what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And Jesus answered him and saying, it is written. Do you have a word for the devil today? Can you tell him, listen, I don't know how I'm going to make it, but God does. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You see, if we're sensitive to the Spirit's calling, we'll know not to go here, but go there. We see an example of this in the New Testament. We see a great example of this. Acts chapter 16, verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. You know, that God would give us more messages in dreams and visions as promised in Acts chapter 1, but we're not listening. We're not ready to hear. Our spirit is listening to the noise. We have to be sensitive to the Spirit's calling. And we also have to be sensitive to the Spirit's warning. In this case, Paul was assured that the Spirit told him to go. But in another case, he was warned not to go. Acts chapter 16, verse 4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. They were at this point setting up the churches and giving the ordinances of worship and the rules for how the fellowships should be organized. And so were the churches established in faith and increased in number daily. Verse 6. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now that's a surprise. Can't I go preach anywhere and everywhere? Well, maybe not. Maybe there's a reason God doesn't want you to go to a certain place. They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, and they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. How many of us would listen to the Spirit? Well, I'm doing a good thing. I'm going to preach the word. But are you listening to where God wants you to go? Maybe there is a place that you are to go and a place you are not to go. You see, we have to be sensitive to the Spirit's calling, sensitive to the Spirit's warning. This is a journey, as I said, in Genesis 17, God told Abraham, "Walk before me and be thou perfect." In other words, walk before me and I declare you perfect. Why? From the very first step. Bible reinforces that in Romans, Paul brings it out. He said, he called those things that are not as though they are. When God calls you perfect, it's not because you are perfect, but he is the judge. He can declare us perfect. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that awesome? He calls those things that are not. Why? Because he can see the finished work. We're on a journey and we're led and we're becoming fully sonship. So let me read this. A child is one born of God. A son is one taught of God. A child has God's nature. A son has God's character. When you're born, you have the genes, but you're not yet exactly the same as your father, because that involves a journey. John 1:12 says that in another way. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become. We're in the becoming. The sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. If you truly are a son and are on this journey, we will overcome fear by his love. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Father, Abba. That's what God wants us to be. Become his son. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right. In the New King James Version, it says the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. Last slide tonight. You see, we are led to his sonship. We are beginning to conform to his image. In that picture, I have a lump of coal and a diamond. They're both made of the same thing. But one has been formed under high temperature and pressure. Romans 8:29, New King James Version says, for whom he did foreknew, he also predestined. In other words, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And I'll end with this. Let this mind be in you. This is what we started with, which was also in Christ Jesus. There's a saying that says, like father, like son. And truly, that's what God wants us to be. Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Hallelujah. If we're led by the Spirit, we will remain in his love. John 15:9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. How do you remain in his love? By believing that. By believing that he loves you. By believing that you are chosen and called. And believing that the Spirit is speaking to you. As we close this service tonight, this Bible study, I hope you have been edified. We will continue part B, being led by the Spirit, next week, but if we could just truly believe that God loves us and that he is speaking to us every single day, every single day. You know, when you love someone, you don't let 3-4 days pass. You pick up the phone or you dial or you text and you have some love talk. God has been speaking to us in the still small voice, sometimes through our heart and we're not listening, sometimes through circumstances. And we don't get it until something dramatic happens. But he has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And if we would humble ourselves tonight and just trust, even in a time of famine, so to speak, where we don't see what we're asking for yet. If we will wait patiently for Him, He will restore, revive, and heal. Hallelujah. Wherever you are tonight, if you could pray with me as we close this Bible study, and most of all, trust God by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed that we can know what is the perfect will of God. He wants to let us know what He wants. He's not trying to hide from us, but we have to seek Him. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts with me, Father, we thank You tonight for Your word, Your anointing, and Your love. Oh God, help us to seek after Your will with our whole heart. Lord, that You will lead us into all righteousness, Lord, that You can cover us with Your spirit of love. Help us to trust You even in times of famine where we see no hope, where we are in a desert place, to know that You led us here for a purpose so that we could depend totally on You. We thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. Let Your blessing be on everyone that can hear my voice. Let Your spirit, Lord God, minister to us and to lift us up. We give You the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We'd like to welcome you and invite you to come out on Sunday for our in-person service starting at 11:30. God bless you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you peace. God bless you in Jesus' name.